From health and wellness to education,
we need to be thinking about what it takes for students to succeed.
From art and politics to social issues of the day,
we have young Black males who are thriving in their communities and who are being shown as leaders.
The journey is what matters.
I would say to all of us, we can be better than we are.
Let's join Dr. Wayne A.I. Frederick, president of Howard University, and his guests as they take steps on the journey.
He's a mathematician and a scholar. He's the new dean of the College of Arts and Sciences at Howard University. Hello, I'm Dr. Wayne Frederick, and my guest today on the journey is Dr. Bernard Mayer. Welcome.
Nice to be here, Dr. Frederick.
So, Dr. Mayer, you hold a PhD in mathematics. Tell me what your focus of study has been.
Well, it's been very varied. My PhD is in harmonic analysis and potential theory. But I did some research in that for a few years, and then I gradually migrated to other areas. I started changing my emphasis to inverse problems when I was in Texas, and then I went to University of Florida, and I changed to medical imaging, really because my interest grew in more practical applications of mathematics. And my current work is focused on medical imaging and applying mathematics to practical areas of imaging, to make mathematics very useful, because I have found in medical imaging mathematics that even though my previous work was sort of regarded as abstract analysis that was difficult to explain to anyone who asked me what I was doing, in medical imaging, it brings all that together. And really, it is now shows that you can have abstract mathematics, pure mathematics, very applied to different problems of practical interest.
Now, obviously, you have immersed yourself in mathematics at a very high level. But I think it's safe to say in our society today, when we look at elementary education, middle school education, mathematics is an important cornerstone. What excited you about math as a youngster, and what do you think is applicable today to our present-day youth?
Well, what excited me about math when I was young is going to be different from what can excite the students nowadays. I think that if you think of mathematics nowadays, is actually ubiquitous. We can think of, we're sitting in this room and there are waves of frequency vibrations, radio waves, television signals, cell phone signals emanating all around us. And that's mathematics. So I think of it as just reaching up in the air and grabbing some mathematics. And I think if we can excite students with the reality of mathematics, that mathematics is in their cell phones, mathematics happens when they go to the doctor, mathematics happens when they turn on the television, when they access their wireless signals, is mathematics. And so we are really in a golden age. No longer do we have to relegate mathematics to something that's abstract, that's intangible, that you can't reach out and touch. But it is an exciting time to be a mathematician, to be able to help to explain to students what mathematics means in their daily, everyday lives.
And as a youth, what excited you about it?
What excited me about mathematics as a youth was the beauty of mathematics. At that time, we didn't have mathematics so prevalent around us. And so we didn't have cell phones. We didn't have computers in my school. We used logarithm tables and all that sort of thing. So we didn't have the presence of mathematics around us. So what excited me about mathematics was the beauty, the logic, the rational nature of mathematics, and the fact that it could solve problems. I found that because it could solve differential equations problems, it could find areas of different strange configurations of shapes and sizes, and I could find rates of change of pouring things from one container into another, and those rate of change problems and the application of mathematics to word problems. Now, word problems is something that many students shy away from, and they just want to have abstract algebra, symbolic things, and just use mathematical formulas to do things. But what excited me was the fact that mathematics related to real-world problems.
You're listening to The Journey. My guest today is Dr. Bernard Mayer, the Dean of the College of Arts and Sciences at Howard University. I'm Dr. Wayne Frederick. Now, let's just switch gears a bit, because obviously you're here to be the dean of a very complicated college at the university, and I would also say an integral part of what we do, with multiple disciplines of study, social sciences, humanities, etc. What is your overall philosophy as you look at a deanship when it comes to scholarship?
It's very important that I realize and recognize the differences between the different disciplines. And I have come to learn that and appreciate the multitude of different ways and different focuses and different ways of doing things that the disciplines are in. And my philosophy is to enable, really be a facilitator to enable the faculty and students to succeed, to do whatever it takes to facilitate their success. And also to help the faculty and students of my college to help the university to succeed, because without the university's success, the college won't succeed, and vice versa. And so as dean, I focus on helping the faculty to be productive, both in scholarship and in teaching and service, to reach out to external constituencies outside of the college and even outside of the university to make those contacts that are necessary for success. And I'm very focused also on student success, because without the students, we don't have a college or university. And the students are the ones who provide the reputation of the university in the general population. And so really, students need to be a very, very high priority. And I make students a very high priority on my list of priorities. And I also try to make sure that faculty realize that students are important and an integral part of their success too. So my view as dean is to be that person that motivates, that provides a vision, that challenges, and also provides some organization for the college to be efficient in its operations.
Okay. So for the areas of, I would say, general education, where we also have quite a number of students from across the undergrad campus coming in. And as you know, we recently had our general education reform because there are certain competencies we want our students to get. What is your approach to ensuring that the College of Arts and Sciences maintains the academic rigor as well for the entire undergrad body?
Well, the general education program is that which distinguishes the college from the other colleges on campus. And in order to maintain a vibrant program, we certainly have to be careful, not just of the competences, but also of the people who teach these courses. And so it is very important that we motivate the students and enable them to see the value in a liberal education, because it's also important for them to see that when they take general education courses, it's not just a course whose knowledge is limited to that course, but so that they can realize that that course is preparing them for lifelong learning, is preparing them to understand the basis and foundation of life and how to live in a civilized nation, and what is their responsibility as educated citizens of this country. And so it is very important that the general education courses provide not just disciplinary content. They're not just prerequisites for disciplinary courses, but they have a broader scope and a broader aim in providing a broad basis for education and lifelong learning for the students.
Now, at the University of Florida, you were involved in the provost's office and instrumental in shaping a lot of the approaches to academic rigor and scholarship. Tell us a little bit about that experience.
That experience was pivotal in helping me to decide that I wanted to continue in academic administration, because I saw the influence that an administrator could have on the academic mission of the university. And the focus there was for the general education program was, since we're talking about the general education program, as a large state institution, that university had over 500 general education courses. And so basically it is a very cafeteria style approach. Students came in, they came into a cafeteria of gen ed courses, and they just chose ones that met the distribution requirements. And we came to the point where we realized, and I think we are at this point here too, that we need to have a signature experience that identifies UF University of Florida students or Howard students in a very unique way, so that we can say these are the characteristics of the students we produce and provide the avenue for them to achieve those characteristics. And so we went through a process where we sought to shape the general education program to more meet the overarching goals of the university's educational mission. And I think that's what's happening here also.
Now, with that in mind, when you think of the different capacities that students have, especially at Howard University, finances is still the number one reason why our students do not matriculate. I tell people all the time, it's not academic aptitude. The students are prepared. What are your thoughts about the current cost of higher ed, student debt, and the special mission that we are trying to fulfill here at the university?
I think the Howard mission is absolutely critical to the success of this nation and to the progress of the United States as a nation, to be that nation that distinguishes it from the rest of the world. And it is true, finances is very important. We see students, not just at Howard, but all across the nation, stub out of their educational mission because of a lack of finances. And that affects, so it goes hand in hand with academic success, and we never know which is a cart, which one is a horse. But I think that Howard's initiative and policies of providing aid for students who need it is very crucial. And so that part of it in supplementing Pell Grants and so on is very crucial to success. However, in addition to finances, we also must provide the appropriate academic advising for the students, which is a very, very crucial role. Howard's mission is unique in that we do have a high proportion of students who need more support. But also, I think we can find a way to help those to motivate those students to be creative in the ways that they support themselves through their educational journey here at Howard.
Now, we often talk at Howard about service and the fact that we want our students to go out and serve the communities around us. And I think you clearly understand the mission and fulfilling that mission. And obviously, part of it is that service component. What are your thoughts about providing credit for experiential learning? So we have students who go out on alternative spring break. They spend a week in Haiti providing mm-hmm. dental care, a week in New York, helping students with higher ed. They sleep on church floors, et cetera. Mm-hmm. I think it's quite an experience. But do you think that that's something that students should get credit for towards their degree progress?
Yeah, I think. My answer is going to be yes and no, because it all depends on what the experiential learning is. I think we already sort of do this, but it's not called that. We have internships, we have externships, and that's really experiential learning. So I think there can be a structure developed that basically extends the internship model to the experiential learning situation. This is a national focus, as the military seeks to provide university credit for the experiences that the military experience on the battlefield or during their training. And so I think Howard really needs to be proactive in doing that, because experiential learning, those experiences are life-changing and very educational. And we should not think by any means that the most important part of a student's education is in the textbook.
Absolutely. Thanks for being here. My guest today has been Dr. Bernard Mayer, Dean of the College of Arts and Sciences. I'm Dr. Wayne Frederick. Please join me next time on The Journey.
You've been listening to The Journey with Dr. Wayne A.I. Frederick, right here on the Howard University Radio Network.